Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. We want to talk today about the false gospel. How can you tell when somebody is preaching to you a distorted, perverted gospel? I have known my guest this morning for over 20 years. James Walker is the president of Watchman Fellowship. Watchman.org is his website. James was a fourth, or I guess he is and was, a fourth generation Mormon. He served as a Aaronic priest in the Mormon church, and he came to know Christ in 1976, and he's been exposing the lies of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other cults and false religions for a long, long time as president of Watchman.org. So, James, welcome to the program today.
Great to be back. It's been a while. Good to hear your voice, man.
Man, it's good to see you, James, and I appreciate you so much. And so I had a caller email me just last week, and they said, can you do a program on Mormonism? Because I'm trying to talk to a Mormon friend, and I don't really know what to say. And my mind immediately went to you, and I said, well, let me see if James could do a program. So James, when we read your bio, fourth generation Mormon.
Fourth generation Mormon, is it?
Huh?
Former fourth generation Mormon.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was able to get out.
Okay, so tell us your story, because that's like most people that would be that steeped and buried in it wouldn't be able to get out. How did that happen for you?
Well, I was kind of a normal Latter-day Saint, you know, family, nothing special. Fourth generation. So my great grandfather on my father's side was Latter-day Saint, and everybody else in my immediate family, and many of my relatives said, so I was baptized when I was 8 years old, which is customary, in the Mormon church. And then, as you mentioned, received the Mormon Aaronic priesthood and served in the offices of deacon, teacher, and priest. I did baptism work for the dead in the Salt Lake City Temple in Utah. These are all common, normal, nothing special about my experience. But what did make it different, I think, is I was fortunate enough, Jeff, that I had some Christian friends who were concerned about me, built relationship with me, asked questions. And basically, I began to have first just some questions about the Book of Mormon and the LDS Church. But then the questions over time worked into doubts, and then doubts finally realizing it was not true. And it was really part of a journey from Mormonism to traditional Christianity. And the ministry of Watchman Fellowship, I now serve as president, but that ministry is very helpful to me during that journey, as I was trying to figure out, okay, if the Mormon church is not true, what is true? What is there even a God? And if I can't trust the Book of Mormon, can I trust the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, so did some research this morning, James. 17.8 million members in the LDS church. They baptized 385,000 in 2025, up 25%, roughly 25% from 2024. So Mormonism is really growing. I don't know if it's growing in America as much as it's maybe growing around the world. What are you seeing as far as that goes?
for a number of years now, the growth in the United States has been declining. It's pretty much plateaued. This has been, the Mormon leaders have been talking about that for over 10 years now. So the main growth, it is growing, but the main growth is happening in third world countries, Latin America, Africa. I would argue places that don't have good internet service. So one of the things they're really fighting, and not just the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but a lot of the controversial religions like Jehovah's Witnesses, Church of Scientology, they're fighting information that's available so easily on the internet. And so in some ways you could argue that the internet is where bad religions go to die.
That's good. Okay, so James, for those that don't know, they kind of lump everything together. You know, there's a famous interview when Mitt Romney was running for president and Joel Osteen was asked about it. And, you know, he's like, well, I've never studied it. I know it's a little different than Christianity, but he says Jesus is his savior. That's good enough for me. I mean, just a total, just an embarrassing answer from somebody who's the pastor of the largest church in America at that time. I don't know if that's still the case, but, you know, it's like, well, you're supposed to know these things and you've never studied it and you don't know anything about it, yet you're going to comment on it. I saw that Todd Friel was talking about this as it related to Dallas Jenkins and Mormons and the Chosen and, know, the connection there. Give us, if you would, just the brief history of Mormonism and how it came about and why it's wrong.
Yeah, well, part of what makes it complicated or confusing to people, including some pastors sometimes, is that the Latter-day Saints are just such nice people, and they're sincere, and they make such great neighbors, and I love the Mormon people. I love the culture. There's a lot of things I like about it. The only real negative, it's not true, but besides that, it's got a lot of things. Seriously, it's got a lot of things that you're going to have to respect and admire, I think, about the Latter-day Saint people. But when you look at the doctrines and theology, while it's true that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the name Jesus Christ right in their name, and they certainly believe in Jesus, I would argue, and even one of the Mormon prophets have said, that the Jesus they believe in is not the traditional Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul warned that we have to be careful about people who would preach another Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus, yes, but it's not the same Jesus we're talking about. And our Muslim friends, you know, of course, they believe in Jesus, and the Quran talks about Isa, Jesus. But I think everybody could agree that the Jesus they're talking about is not the same Jesus that we're talking about. So I argue that that's also true of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Personally, I do know that as a Mormon, the Jesus I believed in then is not the Jesus that I believe in now. So it started off in 1820. Joseph Smith, the Mormon founder in upstate New York, goes out in the woods to pray, to ask God what church to join. He wanted to know if he should be a Presbyterian, a Baptist, or a Methodist, and lo and behold, he claims, he was only 14, he makes the claim as an adult, but he says, back when I was 14, a bright light appeared in this sacred grove where I was praying, and two beings appeared to me, Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him not to join any church. Every church in existence was false. There had been a total apostasy, Joseph Smith learned, and that true Christianity ceased to exist on the face of the earth shortly after the death of the original apostles. And Joseph Smith was tasked, rather than joining one of the false churches, to restore the only true church on the face of the earth. That happened 10 years later in the year 1830, when Joseph Smith organized the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on the back of a scripture that he had allegedly translated from Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics engraved on gold plates that an angel had revealed to him, showed him. He translated this book called the Book of Mormon. And so from the very foundation, Joseph Smith learned from Jesus that the reason he shouldn't join no church is that all the Christian creeds were an abomination in God's sight. All their professors were corrupt. So the creeds, I mean, that's, you know, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. I mean, mm-hmm. you could expand that, the Westminster Confession, any doctrinal statement or creed by any of the churches were not just off a little bit. They were an abomination in God's sight. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that the beliefs are different, because if our beliefs are an abomination, then you would think that the, sure. the Latter-day Saints' beliefs would be different. And they much, very much are. Jesus is he's the Son of God in Mormonism, but he's not the only begotten Son of God. I was taught as a Latter-day Saint that God and his wife, I was taught that God is married, and God and his wife have billions of begotten sons and daughters. Jesus was one of the sons of God. Two of our older brothers both desired to be the savior of the world, and offered to be the savior of mankind, but so did his spirit brother Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Jesus was chosen over Lucifer, and Jesus became our savior. They believe that he is not eternally God. He is a created being that perhaps achieved the level of godhood, but is not eternally God. Mm-hmm. Neither is the Father. So mm-hmm. one of the important early teachings, very early on in my experience as a Latter-day Saint, I was taught one of the Mormon prophets gave a couplet, a saying about God that goes like this: as man is, God once was; as God is, man may become. I was taught that our Heavenly Father, before he was God, he used to be a mere man on another world somewhere who worshiped and followed his God. But because of his obedience to gospel principles and his faith, our Heavenly Father went from being a mere man to becoming a God along mm-hmm. with his wife. And that's how he got to be the God of our world. But we are his children, literally his begotten children, just like Jesus. And we have also the same ability. If we go through the secret Mormon temple ritual, if we keep all the laws and ordinances of the gospel, I was taught that I too could be a God myself one day, as all the other gods have before us. So the summary, Jeff, it's like Mormonism, although it uses Christian terminology and they certainly self-identify as Christian, it really falls in a family of religions called polytheism, not the monotheism of Christianity or mm-hmm. even the monotheism of Judaism or Islam. Mm-hmm. It's the belief in a multiplicity of gods and the promise, the enticement that you too, if you're worthy, have the potential of becoming a god yourself one day.
Well, it sounds like the ultimate Horatio Alger story.
Yes.
God came up.
Some have even compared it to multi-level marketing, you know, because when you become a god, then some of your children also can achieve divinity. And, you know, it just keeps growing the network.
Well, I had read, James, that Joseph Smith and his, I guess his dad, they were kind of con men in their background, or I don't know, kind of wanderers, not stable folks in the community. Is that true?
That's a criticism. Of course, the church pushes back real hard on that. They would say that this was just anti-Mormon or Christian critics that were jealous of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and his new church. Joseph Smith, you know, did get in trouble with the law. He was incarcerated, and those allegations have been out there. But the you just need to know that the church itself will push back against that.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to my friend James Walker, president of Watchman Fellowship. You can find out more at watchman.org. We're talking about the issue of Mormonism and being able to discern what is true and what is not. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay, here's an assignment for you, if you will. I want you to take some time and think about a getaway that gives you a chance to get together with other people of faith, deepen your walk with God, and make new friends, all while enjoying the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I'm talking about joining AFA at the Ark, October 29th and 30th. This is a great opportunity to break away from the grind of everyday life and draw closer to God through special presentations from Patricia Engler and Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. It also includes entrance to the Creation Museum on Thursday and the Ark Encounter on Friday. Friday's dinner includes a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. This is an event that can fill up quickly, so hurry to afa.net/events to register for AFA at the Ark 2026. afa.net/events, and we'll see you at the Ark.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, President of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
I'm Tim Moore from Christ in Prophecy Radio. With all the uncertainty in the world, it's good to know God's promises never change. That's why each week we examine current events through the reliable lens of Bible prophecy. Join me for Christ in Prophecy Radio, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern. Find out what's really going on, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern, on American Family Radio.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and it stressed me out. But what I thought was a solution turned out to be a problem. I kept hearing ads about debt settlement that seemed too good to be true. And actually, it was. When I called, they told me to stop paying my bills. That didn't sound right to me at all, so I hung up. Later, I found out that debt settlement is bad, real bad. Then I learned that there is a right way to pay off your credit cards. It's called a debt management program from the great team at Trinity. Trinity had a plan. In the end, I paid off my bills, I saved thousands, and I even improved my credit score.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Heather. Please forget debt settlement and remember Trinity Debt Management.
1-800-788-1813.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned." So we're talking to James Walker, president of Watchman Fellowship, which is an apologetics ministry. He exposes, shines the light of truth on the teachings of cults and world religions to show the errors that are wrought in those organizations. Now, James grew up in the Mormon church. And James, we were talking at the break, was there a specific teaching or something that you heard that caused you to say, "I don't think this is true"?
Yes. Now, there was a lead up to it. There were a number of things that, again, caused the questions that became doubts. A lot of it I just tried to put on the shelf and just not worry about it. But the final thing I would say, not the changes in the Book of Mormon, not so much the false prophecies of Joseph Smith, those were problematic. But to me, the final straw was the gospel itself. I was taught as a Latter-day Saint that my salvation was based on my obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. And the last page of the Book of Mormon says that if you deny yourself of all ungodliness and all unrighteousness and love the Lord with all your mind, heart, and strength, then his grace is sufficient. That's on the very last page of the Book of Mormon. And so you don't get sufficient grace until you deny yourself of all ungodliness. And Jeff, on my best day, I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But so I kept trying harder and all, but there was this sense of that I wasn't able to do these things that was required of me, and not sufficiently. And my Christian friends were talking about being saved by grace. Mm-hmm. And the final straw for me was coming to the place where I realized that I gave up on trying to be good enough to earn my salvation, mm-hmm. through my obedience to the laws and ordinances, and basically put all my faith and trust in Christ. If Jesus couldn't do it, I have no plan B. And right. And at that point was I look back and see that was the shift that I, now there were a lot that came after still that I had to work through, but that was the moment when I stopped trusting James Walker as Savior and put all my faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone as my Savior.
Amen to that. Well, I would imagine you had a lot of things to unlearn because you were so steeped in it. And, you know, I've often said, James, it's a lot easier to witness to somebody that knows nothing than somebody that's been taught the wrong things, because then as they read, it's like, wait a minute, this is different. You know, your whole foundation gets shifted in a situation like that.
You're raised, you know, believing and thinking that this is the only true church. This is the, all the other churches, you know, they're wrong. And so this is the best possible form of Christianity. If this isn't true, there is no true church. Mm-hmm. And so when you think that way, then, and, you know, I flirted even at beginning, how do I even know there's a God? But that was just a minor temptation that came in. I still believe there had to be a God. And so, but I didn't know what I did believe about other things. And so I think eventually I could have worked through it with the Bible and over time. But this is where the Ministry of Watchman Fellowship, when I was client, I wasn't the president. I was being right. helped by the ministry. Sped things up. The founder of Watchmen, David Hinckley. David knew the lingo. When I said grace, he knew that was different than when a Christian says grace. Right. When I say scriptures, he knows I'm talking about the Book of Mormon, the Bible, many things. He's talking about the 66 books of the Bible. He understood the lingo, but also he had the documentation. So I had heard that there had been changes in the Book of Mormon, and I asked David about that, and it was like, yeah, you want to see some? And he has photocopies of every page of the original 1830 Book of Mormon, and I can see the original. I take my Book of Mormon, and I start to see some of the significant changes that have taken place since the Book of Mormon was first published. And so it validated what I had heard. I was able to hold the receipts in my hand, so to speak. So that's helpful, and we try to help Christians do that as well. We provide tools and resources so you can sit down with your Mormon friend or family member and say, let's look at the original Book of Mormon and let's see if it's been changed.
Well, one of the things that I experienced personally in Houston when they opened up a temple that wasn't too far from Champion Forest where I was,
yes.
We went on a tour. They allowed the infidels to come in and tour the place, and then they would recarpet, you know, because it had to be pure and all. But they made a strong point of saying, we want you to know we are Christians, and they don't tell you that they believe in another Jesus. They don't tell you that we're opposite from what you have believed. That's the deception, is it not?
It is, but I want to be fair with them. I would have said the same thing. I don't think they know. I think they really believe that. They really believe that everybody believes the same thing. So whether you're Muslim or Latter-day Saint or Christian, when you say Jesus, we're all talking about the same person. And so they don't know. Now, one of the recent Mormon prophets, Gordon B. Hinckley, during General Conference, as well as publicly, said that critics of our church say that we believe in a different Jesus, and they're right. And mm-hmm. he says that the Christ that I believe in is not the traditional Christ. And so I think the leadership knows, but our Mormon neighbors aren't trying to deceive us. They really believe that. And I would have said the same thing when I was a Latter-day Saint, not in order to deceive, because I thought we all believe the same thing.
Yeah. Well, it says in Second Timothy chapter 2, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Would you say, James, that the higher ups in the Mormon church know that, just like that guy admitted, we believe in another Jesus? Because that's not going out to the foot soldiers. Hey, when you go and knock on people's doors, tell them we're believing in another Jesus and another gospel. They believe that, the higher ups, but as you said, the foot soldiers don't know that. Are they purposely?
Yeah, President Hinckley, when he said that, if you read the whole article, he goes on to explain that that we have the wrong Jesus and they're the ones with the right Jesus. So, I mean, he's not trying to say, oh, we are deceiving these people. What he's trying to say is, and he's right, it's a absolutely different theology on who is Jesus, the LDS position, the Mormon position, versus the traditional Christian position. So the average Latter-day Saint probably doesn't know this. The leadership knows, but they're thinking that we're all wrong. Remember Joseph Smith's first vision, all the Christian creeds are an abomination.
Right.
That's what we believe about Jesus. And so they have the right one. So what I like about President Hinckley's statement is he at least establishes there's two different, completely different theologies or beliefs, and only one of them can be true. And I think he would have agreed with that as well. He argues, of course, that he has the right Jesus.
Okay, so James, when we think about Christians working with Muslims, Dallas Jenkins and The Chosen working in concert with Muslims to some extent. I don't know. I need to delve
Muslims or Mormons?
Mormons, I'm sorry. Mormons, yeah. And, Todd Friel on Wretched Radio was really calling that out. You know, what fellowship has light with darkness? How do you see that? Going to the Mitt Romney situation, obviously we weren't voting for a pastor, we were voting for a president. But is that a concern that this guy would be, a Mormon and presenting himself as a believer in Jesus?
Yeah, I've not seen anything, and I'm not a real student of the Jenkins, and I've watched a couple of the episodes, but I haven't tried to study. I've not seen or heard anything Mormon particularly coming out in The Chosen, any Mormon theology or doctrine. But definitely the Latter-day Saints, the production, I don't remember the exact legal connection, although I think Jenkins has had a fallout with the production company that originally produced. I don't know the developments on that. But yes, you do have a challenge when somebody's involved on the theology side of it. I have no problem having a Mormon plumber come over and work on a problem with my house or something, a Mormon roofer put a new roof on my house. I do have a problem with Mormons helping me with my sermon preparation. So it's, I do draw a line there. I want to have Mormon friends. I want to have Mormon. I have family that are Mormon that I love, but right. I don't want them involved with the spiritual part of what I'm doing. I want them to be friends. I want to be good neighbors, but I don't want them involved with that. And so I would have doubts and questions about that. With the Romney, I was on Fox News being asked that same question by Alan Combs, along with a Mormon apologist. I would just say, I don't think there should be a theological standard that you can't vote for someone who is of another faith or another religion, atheist, no religion. Mm-hmm. However, The issue I would have on a Mormon president is the respectability and the popularity that something like that would bring to the church as a whole. How many millions of converts could come out of having a articulate Mormon president that's able to present the doctrines in a way that sounds compatible with traditional biblical Christianity? And the Latter-day Saints are really good at that.
Well, James, I saw an interview that Glenn Beck did with David Barton, and David Barton had a book that they pulled because they said he had things in there that were incorrect, and he disputed that. It's not incorrect, but whatever. Somebody didn't like it, and they got it pulled. And so Glenn Beck was supporting him, and they, you know, Glenn Beck is a Mormon, in my understanding. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but sounds like he had an experience with the Lord, but then he's Mormon. It's like, okay, I'm having a real hard time putting this together. What is your understanding of his journey?
I'm not a student of Glenn Beck, but let me say for years, for well over a decade, probably closer to 15 years, I've been praying for Glenn Beck, and that from his time at, CNN or Fox News, from that time until today, a tremendous amount of influence. And
yes,
I would love to see that influence be channeled towards the true gospel, the gospel of grace, not the restored gospel, not the Latter-day Saint gospel of works. And if he had a true conversion, Beck is the kind of guy, he's not going to be quiet about things. You know, right. He's going to make that known. And I would just love to, there's several, I would think, critical people in our culture. You could put Oprah Winfrey in this category, that if they channeled their energy towards the truth, it could be a game changer. And Glenn Beck's one of those people. That's why I encourage people to pray for him. I think he's extremely sincere. If you're conservative in your politics, you're going to like a lot of things that he says already. It's the theology that I'm concerned about. And those who are in contact, I mean, my own systematic theology professor has had connections with Beck that I think could be potentially compromising the stand for truth. So I'm not calling for a boycott. I'm not saying you have to believe exactly like I do, or I don't want to have anything to do with you. But when something gets to be a compromise to the extent of the very nature of the gospel, mm-hmm. I think that's where we need to have some more critical thinking.
James, do you think it's possible for a person to be a genuine born-again believer and then get sucked into Mormonism?
Not just possible, it happens every day. And so mm-hmm. The Mormon Church has made claims. Now, this was back decades ago. There's no new data on this, but that there are thousands and thousands of Baptists becoming Mormons. And yeah, I'm not going to challenge those numbers. I don't know exactly where they get their numbers from, but that's probably true. With that kind of Mormon missionary efforts, those doors being knocked on, you're going to find not just Baptists, but those from every denomination are converting. And so are some of those people true Christians? Almost certainly some of them are. So, and even if you don't have a traditional Christian background, I believe that there's possibility that the Holy Spirit can touch a person's life despite what's being taught from the pulpit. So I think there are Mormons who are genuinely saved, but if they're saved, they're saved despite what they're being taught, not because mm-hmm. of what they're being taught.
Right.
Because the gospel and the whole Book of Mormon, everything is, it's a gospel of works. Mm-hmm. If you're obedient to the laws and ordinances, then, the Book of Mormon says it this way: by grace are you saved after all you can do. Mm-hmm. You don't get any grace until you do everything you can do.
Right. Well, we're talking to James Walker, president of Watchman Fellowship, and watchman.org is his website. And James came to Christ in 1976 after being immersed in Mormonism, and the Lord saved him as he started to see that this is not true. And then he started to search for truth, and he saw the light, so to speak, and came to know Christ in a real way. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment for James, we would love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give us a call, and let's talk.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
One who is wise in spiritual things, when they hear the instructions of God, when they understand what is God's will for their life, they are going to be individuals that have a strong desire to implement it at once. There is an urgency for every believer to obey the truth of God. And there is an inherent relationship between God's truth and a kingdom experience. Someone who rejects the truth of God, they will not have a kingdom experience.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
Maybe this is you too. There's enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It is amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. You can save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Over a million Americans are now part of healthcare sharing, and MediShare is the gold standard. It's trusted. It works. It's been helping people save money and have peace of mind now for 30 plus years. It's not some big impersonal thing either. It's a community of people like you helping each other. So yeah, if you're frustrated too, here's your chance to make a refreshing change. You'll notice the difference as soon as you call. They're easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to James Walker, president of Watchman Fellowship. And you can reach him, watchman.org, watchman.org, a great website with lots and lots of resources on there. James was a former fourth generation Mormon and baptized for the dead. You did that, didn't you, James, back in the day?
Yes. People
wonder what in the world that is. Why? I mean, there's one verse in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29, I think. And the Mormons have made that one of their principal doctrines. It seems like that's a big part of what they do. Explain, what is that all about?
Well, I think what 1 Corinthians 15 is really talking about is that there were false teachers denying the resurrection during Paul's day. And for some inexplicable reason, these false teachers also baptized people for the dead. And so Paul was pointing out the inconsistency. Why do you do that if there's no resurrection? I think that's really what it's talking about. But Mormonism developed a major part of the theology based on that obscure passage. So the Mormon Church has the world's largest genealogical library. You can go to the family history building at Temple Square. And they you can search back your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. And the reason they do that is they take these names and they do proxy ceremonies. So when I was a Mormon, I went to the Salt Lake City Temple, and there's a beautiful gold baptismal font supported by 12 golden oxen. And I went into the waters to be baptized, but not for me. I had already been baptized just in a regular Mormon church for myself. I was baptized for and on behalf of some dead people, about maybe a half dozen dead men. And so they would say, I baptize you, James Walker, for and on behalf of Frederick Jones, who is deceased. And they would immerse me in the water, bring me out. Next, I would, and they, so I was under the impression, I was taught actually, that if that dead person had accepted the restored gospel, the only true gospel, the Mormon gospel, after death in a place called Spirit Prison, immediately when I was baptized, that was the work he needed. And that work I did by proxy allowed him to go from Spirit Prison to paradise. And so about 90% of what happens in the Mormon temples today, this is not the regular Sunday morning church. It's the temples are closed on Sunday.
Right.
The temple is primarily proxy work for the dead, baptism for the dead, or marriage for the dead. So as Mormons believe that in order to get to the highest heaven, the celestial kingdom, you have to not only be worthy and obedient, you must be married, and you must, your spouse must also be worthy, and you must be married in the temple. And so if you lived and died before Joseph Smith restored the gospel, or maybe the Mormon missionaries haven't explained this to you yet, when you die, you get a chance to accept the restored gospel and get baptized for the dead, but then also you could get married to your spouse by proxy. So a Mormon couple will go through the temple. One takes the name of the dead husband. The other takes the name of the dead wife. And you go through the sealing ceremony where that couple can be married for time and all eternity and potentially receive what they would call celestial exaltation, meaning godhood.
I mean, it's just, that's just bizarre.
It's different.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, James, before we get to the phone calls, and we'd love for you to call in 888-589-8840. Very briefly, can you just give us a checklist? How does a person know if they're hearing, you know, somebody comes to their door or they get information sent to them or whatever, how can they tell, is this true or is this false? What is a little checklist to determine if something is a cult or false teaching?
The little memory device we use are the four functions of math. So a counterfeit Christian group, they're going to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. They're going to add, first of all, to God's word with new scripture or new books that are essential to your salvation. So do they add to God's word with new scripture? In the case of the Latter-day Saints, you of course have the Book of Mormon and other scriptures as well, the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price. And secondly, subtract, and that's where we already kind of talked about this, subtract from Jesus. No, hardly any religion is going to say we hate Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They love Jesus. But the question is, well, Jesus asked himself, who do men say that I am? So if you subtract from either the deity of Christ, saying that Jesus Christ was not God, or the earlier heresy, if you subtract from the humanity of Jesus, saying that Jesus was God, but he never became a real man, then that's basically subtracting. You end up with another Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. The other two are multiply and divide. A counterfeit Christian group is going to multiply the requirements of salvation, saying that Christ alone cannot save you. His atonement may be necessary for salvation, but not sufficient. You're going to have to do a certain set of works, which will depend on which religion you join. It could involve your diet, you know, no pork, no shellfish. It could involve giving money. In the Mormon church, you cannot get a temple recommended, even get inside a Mormon temple, unless you're a full tithe payer. So your financial support of the church is critical to where you're going to spend eternity when you die. So it's a series of works. For the Jehovah's Witnesses, the works include going door to door or being involved as what they would call a proclaimer of the kingdom. And then the final one is divide the followers' loyalties. So a counterfeit group is going to say, you can't be loyal to God unless you're loyal to our organization, our church, our corporation. So they are the only factory authorized distributors of eternal life. So even if you do all the good works, if you don't do them with their group, with their corporation or organization, then you cannot have eternal life. So that's just a quick thing, kind of a checklist. Be real careful, because all the counterfeit groups are going to use our words, God, Jesus, salvation, heaven, scripture, but they're also going to have radically different definitions for their, for those terms. So they're going to use our vocabulary, but they have a different dictionary. So always ask, what do you mean? Oh, you say we're saved by grace. Explain what you mean by grace. You say that you do believe the scriptures. What are the scriptures to you? Which books are you talking about?
Yeah, that's very good. What my wife and I just watched a documentary on Netflix, James, called Trust Me, and it was about the fundamentalist LDS church and this prophet and all these women. He had these all these wives, and dads. One dad gave five of his daughters to this guy. I mean, he's just a sexual deviant. Now that is. That's a splinter group from LDS, and they're kind of like maybe radical Muslims would be. It's like, we're the true followers. I'm the true follower of Joseph Smith. And you could make the case that he is, because Joseph Smith did the same thing, did he not?
Yeah, the FLDS, you're talking about the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Warren Jeffs, they're a prophet.
Right.
But there are hundreds fundamentalist splinter groups of the Mormon Church. In Utah, we've talked to a number of people from the TLC, True and Living Church of Jesus Christ of the Last Days. There's a lot of independent fundamentalist Mormons who still practice polygamy. The Mormon Church itself has repudiated polygamy over 100 years ago. But these splinter groups, they're saying, you know, we want to do it like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. We want to be the true Mormons, and they believe, and they can make a case for this, that they are practicing Mormonism in a more like Joseph Smith and Brigham Young did. So Brigham Young taught for many years that Adam, the first man, Adam is our Heavenly Father, our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. The Mormon Church itself later moved away from that, called that a false teaching, but the fundamentalist groups still teach this Adam God theology. So that's one of many examples of splinter groups of the Mormon Church.
Well, let's go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have our friend Jane on the line from Oregon. Jane, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. And it's early here.
Yes.
I have two comments, actually. Joseph Smith said that Jews came across the Atlantic and populated this hemisphere with, and they are the Native Americans, but now DNA has proved that absolutely false, as I understand. And the other thing is that when you read the Bible, which is 3,000 years old in places, it talks about places that you can still find in the Middle East. But you can't do that with anything that were spoken of to be in this hemisphere in the Book of Mormon. There's nothing left of that. Mm-hmm. Right?
James?
Oh, yes, yes. That's absolutely right. DNA is one of the recent real thorns, problems that have come up with those who believe in the Book of Mormon. According to the Book of Mormon, it used to say, they've changed it, but the introduction of the Book of Mormon used to say that the principal ancestors of the Native Americans, the Indians, are actually a family that came from Jerusalem, Lehi and his sons and their wives and their descendants. And so the Jews are actually, the Native Americans, the Indians are actually Jewish. That's their background. There's many problems with that theory, but one of them is the DNA. They now have basically not only done Native American groups, Cheyenne, Apache, Seminole, Eskimo, they've also have the technology now to even get the DNA of pre-Columbian Native American groups, Toltec, Aztec, Maya, Inca. they've done the DNA, and none of the DNA tracks to Israel. The DNA does track to Northeast Asia, to Mongolia, Siberia. And so even Mormon anthropologists today would argue that the majority of the Native Americans came from a land bridge known to exist between between Northeast Asia and the New World. So it's a real problem. The Mormon apologists do try to give some answers to that problem. The other problem gets back to what you're mentioning on the archaeology. And so when you go to Israel, Jeff, you still do trips over there?
Yeah, we're going.
You get to see these.
Go ahead.
You get to see these places. You get to go to Capernaum. Right. You get to go to Bethlehem. You go to these places and see these are real cities. The Book of Mormon is a massive civilization. It describes primarily 600 BC to 421 AD, a massive civilization. In the last battle mentioned in the Book of Mormon, almost 250,000 Nephites die. That was one battle, 250,000 people die. There are cities mentioned, great cities. These are fortified, walled cities, Bountiful, Zarahemla. Not one of these cities has ever been found. Where is Bountiful? Where is Zarahemla? Yeah. And so even the Mormon apologists who will point to places like in the Yucatan Peninsula, they'll point to places that do have walled cities. In this case, Chechen Itza, however, this city, the date of it is 900 years too late to be a Book of Mormon city. So there's problems with that. And there is no maps in the Book of Mormon showing where these cities are. And so it's not a scripture that's comparable to the Bible. We can go there right now and see these cities. Right. And same with the coins in the Book of Mormon versus the coins mentioned in the Bible. It's a real problem.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Jane, for calling in. We have time for one more. Raul from Texas. Raul, go ahead.
Good morning. Was it true that the LDS did not allow blacks into their faith at one point?
Is that true, James?
True. When I was a Latter-day Saint, no black person could hold the Mormon priesthood, and no black person was allowed entry into the temple. In 1978, then prophet Spencer W. Kimball had a new revelation allowing blacks to receive the priesthood and have the full benefits of the membership in the church. And that change, I'm convinced, sparked another change in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon had dark and light-skinned people also. Book of Mormon says that the light-skinned Jewish people, the Nephites, were quote unquote white and delightsome, but because of their sinfulness, they became quote unquote dark and loathsome. The Book of Mormon promised that if they would repent, however, these dark skinned Lamanites, they called them, would become white and delightsome again. Well, after 1978, guess how many black people were becoming white that were Mormons? Zero. And so the next edition of the Book of Mormon, it changes that verse, and it now says that when they would repent, they would become pure and delightsome. And they took out the word white. That's one of the 4,000 changes in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, very good. Well, James, our listeners can get a hold of you at just watchman.org.
Yeah, watchman, M-A-N, watchman.org.
Amen. Well, James, thank you so much for being my guest. It's always a pleasure, my friend. You need to stop by and see me next time you're driving from the Arlington area to Little Rock or anything east. I'd love to see you, but God bless you and your work.
Will do, brother.
Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Have a great weekend. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.